Okay, let's get it. Locked on LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked on LSU podcast. Talk some quarterbacks with Sean Salisbury coming up here in just a quick minute. A Tuesday, of course, LSU players meet with the media. And we got to hear from Kayshawn Boutte and Liam Shanahan earlier today. And there was a couple of interesting things. For example, like Kayshawn Boutte kind of acknowledged that LSU had a little bit of the big head going into the season. Give a listen to this one.
I got a lot of respect for all my opponents. I don't downplay nobody just because they're not SEC or none of that. It's respect your opponents, because I feel like UCLA, we kind of didn't respect our opponents, and we got it handed to us. So that's a lesson to learn from.
I mean, that's your number one receiver All-America candidate saying we didn't respect UCLA, we got it handed to us, and it's a lesson learned. This is an LSU team that can't afford to go into any game without respecting its opponent. We talked about this with the build-up to the season. When you looked at Vegas point spreads for the entire season, the SEC schedule for LSU anyway, roughly half of the schedule at the onset of the season was a three-point line one way or the other. I mean, when you're basically playing a coin flip half your schedule, you can't afford to take anybody lightly. And LSU did that against UCLA, and they got popped. What I thought, though, was a little more interesting, though, was hearing a couple of veterans, guys who've been through it, like Boutte and Shanahan, talk about Jack Besh. And we spent an awful lot of time talking about the freshman wide receivers. And we talked about Brian Thomas, and we talked about Chris Hilton. And, of course, we saw Malik Nabers really boom late. And Besh moved to tight end out of necessity. And I know we talked about Jack Besh a little bit during the summer and his move to tight end. Of course, you lose Eric Gilbert. You've had some transfers at the position, so you really only have Cole Taylor. Nick Storrs medically retired. So you had Cole Taylor, and really that was it. After that, it was Jack Mashburn, the walk-on. So you kind of had to move Jack Besh to tight end. And I told you, like, I got to watch Jack Besh actually play a lot at St. Thomas More. And there was a play in particular I remember when, because Catholic and St. Thomas More played a bunch, so I actually did get to see him play. And they were playing at Memorial Stadium in Baton Rouge. And Jack Besh caught a little screen pass and just dusted the Catholic DB, who became a college signee, by the way. As a long stride, like, he's not like track speed, but the long legs, like he's a strider, which is incredible how fast he moves. And he's got that big body as well. They've got him up to about 205. He is a mismatch. Like, Jack Besh is a problem for defenses because he is going to be faster and more athletic than any linebacker that tries to cover him. And I'd say the same for most safeties as well. Like, listen to Kayshawn Boutte talking about the early success that Jack Besh has had.
Jack from Lafayette, I played against him before, so I knew him coming in would have been a big factor to this team, and it really has been. He caught the most balls, I think, at the tight end around this season, and he's doing good. And I know that 10 times out of 10 when the ball get thrown to him, he's going to catch it.
Now, the other part of that, too, is Liam Shanahan that's a receiver saying it, and listen, Jack Besh this past weekend played every receiver position. Yeah, he was like played the Y, but he played the X, the Y, and the Z. He played all of the receiver positions this past weekend against McNeese. So no matter when he's on the field, you're never predictable by personnel because he can line up anywhere at all those positions. Liam Shanahan also today was asked about Jack Besh.
He's awesome. I mean, he's one of those guys that he has a work ethic that you can't really teach. Work ethic, toughness, just that type of mojo to him. You know, he's awesome. I love having him as a teammate. You know, you mentioned Gronk. I'm a Patriots guy from up north, so he reminds me, honestly, of Julian Edelman a little bit with his size. So, you know, it's awesome to see him getting on the field and making plays.
He's bigger and faster than Julian Edelman. Jack Besh is. He's 6'2". Edelman's not that big. So I don't really like that comp. I know we always sort of default to the white wide receiver comp. But I think Jack Besh is, if you ask me for a comp, I'd say more like Anquan Boldin. Like, guy's got maybe not the elite top-end speed, but can run, is also strong and physical, go over the middle. I love this type of receiver, bigger than a Jarvis Landry, but the guy that'll go over the middle and make the tough catch. Man, I think Jack Besh has a huge future in this offense, which is really fun to see that pop earlier. Something else that we're also kind of looking for, and Kayshawn Boutte talked about this, that they are trying to focus more this week on tempo, which is something we've heard a lot of criticism of here through the first couple of weeks?
Focusing on tempo this week, I feel like as you focus on tempo more and in the game, the faster you move, the more momentum you have as an offense. And lately, we've kind of been starting off slow, so I feel like it got something to do with momentum. So I think that's our main focus this week, to get everything going faster.
We heard Ed Ogeron say they're not going to do as much of the check with me's. They're going to try to go tempo. The counter to that, though, is if you go tempo and you still don't have a rhythm and you have incomplete passes or you go three and out quickly, then you're putting your defense right back on the field, a defense which is struggling right now. Shouldn't, fingers crossed, knock on for Micah, matter against Central Michigan? But a week from Saturday, 11 a.m. in Starkville, when Klanga is going nuts in a very underrated venue in the SEC and that team's feeling itself a little bit, and you have a good offensive coach and Mike Leach that knows how to burn you with crossing routes, could be a different story when you need to slow that pace down a little bit. Liam Shanahan also talked about tempo.
I mean, it's just something that we got to practice. You know, obviously, when you're going fast, you know, you're not, the plays that are getting called aren't necessarily based on the defense's look that they're given. You know, sometimes, you know, we Coach Pete's gets to get a look at the defense and then call the plays. But, you know, when we're going fast, we're saying that we can block that play regardless of what look they give us. So, you know, that's just something that we got to that'll get better with time, which is why I think it's great that we've been getting a lot of work with it in practice. So
these 3 weeks, meaning McNeese, Central Michigan, Mississippi State, is a stair step. Can we all agree to that? You lost to UCLA, but thankfully you didn't have to jump right back into the deep end. You had McNeese, and now you step up in competition to Central Michigan, and then you're going to step up in competition again to Mississippi State before you then go up in competition again to Auburn. So the next month is a gradual stair step, which is beneficial to a team that is trying to find itself a little bit. Here's what they could do this weekend against Central Michigan: take that next step and start to develop some rhythm offensively. Okay, it's Locked On LSU, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Back better than ever, and all eyes on the gridiron. Teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline.ag, your number one spot for all the pro and college football action. If you want to bet this season, head on over to BetOnline.ag, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today, it's free, and get your 100% welcome bonus. So when you make your initial deposit, just when you sign up, make your initial deposit, use the promo code NFL100, that's NFL100, and get a 100% welcome bonus. Look, it could be football or basketball, baseball, boxing, no matter what. It is betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports is betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Pleased to welcome Sean Salisbury on the show, and had a chance to talk with Sean, of course, who played in the NFL and played collegiately at Southern Cal and does a morning talk radio on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Just one of the best football minds and analysts, and is very close to the LSU program, very close to Ed Ogeron from Ogeron's days at Southern Cal. And Sean was at one point considered for an analyst job at LSU, but because he does tutor and work with young high school quarterbacks, he would be an individual associated with a prospect, which sort of precluded him from joining the staff. But still great insight, great knowledge, and loves LSU. And had a chance to talk to Sean about the current quarterback situation, about Garrett Nussmeier, which we'll get to. But I started by asking about Max Johnson and how different it is for him now when he is the unquestioned starter.
I think that it's extremely difficult. This is big boy football. Now, listen, I'm going to trust, first of all, not only what I see, but I'm going to trust a little bit of DNA here. His daddy is obviously one of my very dear friends, and we talk pretty often. I can tell you this, when Brad Johnson came to Minnesota as an 11th round, I believe, or 9th round pick from Florida State, big arm, knew how to throw a check down, was just feeling his way through, bright guy, loved sports, gym rat, give it time. And Brad turned into a hell of a football player. We've come to the point, Matt, not just only here, everywhere we go, if you've got a name or you're highly recruited or you're playing at a place like LSU or Bama or Southern Cal or Florida State, we expect not only quantum leaps from game to game, but we expect special. Now, he's no Joe Burrow right now, but you want me to take you back to Joe Burrow's first year in LSU? I'm going to take you back to Joe Burrow at Ohio State. got beat out by a guy who can barely stay in the league right now, Dwayne Haskins. And look what it's starting to get in the mix with coaching. Joe, at the end of that year, had that big bowl game. And then they start to transform into a player. I'm not saying Max Johnson's going to be Joe Burrow. I don't know if Max Johnson's going to be Jeff Wickersham, who was a good player. Tommy Hodson, I can tell you this, though. I trust the DNA, the football IQ, and I think we got to slow it down. Okay, it was average against UCLA. It has not exploded against McNeese, but you're not going to play guys and throw it 50 times against the team you're supposed to beat. Let's slow down and let it happen. It's a difficult transition because I've done both, where I was the starter all the time at SC, and you're getting every rep. Then you're the backup coming off the bench in the NFL, and then you start in the NFL. It takes a minute to settle in and to understand what one coach, the right hand's feeding the left, and what this guy's saying. So, listen, if we're 9 games in and Max Johnson's taking steps back, then we'll take a look at it. But we are at a time when nobody wants to allow anything to happen. Now, he goes down there in the biggest games of his life in the big pressure games and looks like he doesn't belong because mentally he's not into it, he's scared, all that. Then we can start to say maybe this isn't for him. I'm not anywhere near that yet, nowhere near it. So I just ask that people slow their roll. One good game in the pros, oh, man, he's going to the Hall of Fame. In college football, Trevor Lawrence, oh, he turns it over too much. What's going to happen with him? Mac Jones is now, oh, man, he's the next Tom Brady. We got to slow down. He's had a couple starts in last year and a couple starts this year. Let's let Max Johnson get into the mix, and let's judge him later in the season, not after 2 starts where he's not, a college Hall of Famer just yet. I think we got to temper that a bit with all of our expectations, good and bad.
And Sean, the undeniable truth about LSU through 2 games also is that the offensive line is they've been objectively bad.
Yes.
The quarterbacks have been under constant pressure and there's no running game. So if you're Jake Peets, if you're the LSU offensive staff, how do you generate a game plan when your offensive line can't protect the quarterback and can't open holes for the running game?
That's where the genius comes in. That's where the expertise. Well, I'll take you to Clemson. Let's just go Clemson, Georgia in the opener.
Okay.
Yeah, Uangalele was last year comes in and plays Notre Dame. What throws for close to 5 with 450 or whatever right. When Trevor Lawrence misses, right? Oh man, we got the next great one. Well, he looks like he's going to be great. All of a sudden, Georgia, they can't block a soul. Clemson, Georgia's defensive line looks as if they actually could beat the Atlanta Falcons offense after what I saw last week. And now all of a sudden, Clemson, what's going wrong? They got a boring offense. Is DJ going to be? And then they come back against a lesser opponent. And that offensive line, look what happens. Look what happens when great players, I'm going to tell you, when you have to either, and Max has had good feet, but when you get to a point where you can't settle in, and you're always wondering, and the trust factor's big when you know you can set your feet and go, and then you design plays to get on the edge. You got a guy who can escape. That's great. But the LSU I know protects the passer and also has run the football. We know the athletes they've had in the past.
Yeah.
And we got to slow down, too. Max Johnson's not Joe Burrow yet. But Joe Burrow wasn't Joe Burrow yet either. So all of it comes together, and they say, well, he's no Pat Mahomes. Well, really, who is? Well, he's not where – this freshman is, or why isn't he who C.J. Stroud is right now, or why isn't he Bryce Young? Well, because they're a better football team right now, and they've had a little bit more, and there's experience, and he's trying to get in the mix. He was in a battle last year and a battle in this camp. So, yes, it's important. So that it's incumbent upon the coordinator. And I didn't see this against the team who's been a national championship team, Clemson, against Georgia. I'm sitting here saying, why are we dropping back 3 in a hitch or 5 in a hitch, holding the ball and trying to push it down the field? To me, it's pretty logical. If I can't block you and I'm not running the ball very well, then I better get the quick game and I better start executing. And it also, you better get off press coverage and you better be able to get off the ball. So it all works in sync. You got to be able to set your feet. Then every now and then you run into a quarterback who just makes everybody, play 10 times better, and we got to give it a chance to happen. But if I'm calling plays and I'm not protecting my quarterback and my run game's not dominating physically, guess what I got to do? Then I, as a coach, it's incumbent upon me to understand how to adjust. And if some guys aren't doing it, then I need to replace them, whether it's a right tackle, a center, a slot receiver, a defensive end. But as the pass protection goes and getting in sync, they're going to get better. And the coach is feeling his way out too. But for me, when all else fails, when they're pressuring you, the way that I counterpoint that is stuff to keep them off balance. Sometimes you may have to max protect, keep backs in, and your receivers are going to have to win in one-on-one battles or beat zone when you got a two- or three-man route. So you have to learn to get the ball out quick and anticipate. And a lot of times coaches, and I'm not saying it's LSU, it's everywhere, they get stubborn and they got to learn to adjust on the fly. One of the toughest things to do is be a great play caller when things aren't going well. But you just have to, and if not, then like a player, then you better adjust, or as we all know, saw what happened on defense last year, you get replaced. So they've got their work cut out for them, but you have to, it's a point counterpoint, your chest move versus mine. If I'm not protecting Maddie, I got to get the ball out quicker, and I can't be pushing the ball down at 15, 20-yard routes. The quicker I get it out, then what do? They start to back off. And you got to hit opportunities when they're there, but you also got to hit singles when they're not there.
Yeah. Drop passes certainly were an issue this week. Sean, I'm not going to pretend.
Yes, exactly right.
I'm not going to pretend like you sat there and watched every play of LSU and McNeese in a blowout, but we did get to see Garrett Nussmeier. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. We did get to see Garrett Nussmeier, the freshman, and it wasn't impressive on the stat sheet, but there's an undeniable sort of energy that he brought. So I think one of the things that's interesting, and maybe just I can lean into here for the psychology of this, but you have two quarterbacks, neither who has proven an exceptional amount. One is probably a safer pick in Max Johnson. One maybe has a higher ceiling, but also more of a probability of making mistakes in Garrett Nussmeier. So what do you do while you kind of wait on Miles Brennan to get back into the fray?
Who do you trust in the big – if I'm asking this question, yeah. My staff, when I'm sitting in there. And like I said, it's amazing, Maddie, how quickly we're ready. If Jameis Winston, and we'll get to the NFL next segment, but if he'd have had a poor game this week and went back to old Jameis, turn it over, you know what everybody would have been saying? We got to either play the guy that's there now, Taysom Hill, we got to go find a quarterback. Is Deshaun Watson, after one game. I'm just telling you, that's how it goes. And like I said, having lived it, I know, because I've been on both ends of the backup. You come in, of course the backup's more energy and maybe a higher ceiling, you're right. But what happens is, as a backup, your thought process is, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to come in here, cut it loose. People expect it. When you settle in as the starter and you're trying to find your way as Max Johnson, let's let it evolve, and maybe you mix him in with a series or two to find out when I really find out about a quarterback is when it's ugly. When it's ugly, and not just once, but over an extended amount of time, you start to see trends of a way a guy can do something. And you're exactly right. Sometimes we just see a guy and say, the energy's different. But weren't we saying this at a couple times last year about LSU when Max Johnson came in? It's kind of a different energy, right? Mm-hmm. Look at how he moves. And, man, he's got Brad Johnson DNA and the rest. So we say it, and now all of a sudden he's a starter and a couple subpar performances or average performances in the last two games, and we're like, okay, man, who's the next guy? Slow down, man. It's not everybody is winning the Heisman Trophy. Not everybody's Spencer Rattler. And I'll take you back to Rattler. His first two games, while stats were okay, they were 1-2 in his first two starts. Everybody goes, well, I thought Rattler was Kyler Murray. What's wrong here? He's pretty good now, and I'm not comparing the two, but it's easy to be the backup and have energy. And Nuss's kid has got good football IQ, too. He knows how to play. So we're dealing with some good football players, but we've got expectations at LSU are so high, but we put so much expectation on them, it's hard for them to be able to deliver, because all that they do is, if you make a mistake, you're looking over to the sideline wondering, when's the next guy coming in? Let's let them evolve into a position, and if it doesn't work, then and only then do you go find the next guy. But if somebody brings energy, give him a package or two and see how it works.
We're going to wrap up here in just a second. Got to remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com, the best-tasting protein bar in the world. I was storming this morning, running out of the house, had to get my son dressed into school, didn't have time for breakfast. So what did I do? I reached in the pantry, I grabbed a Built Bar with my coffee. If it's that morning meal replacement that's quick and delicious, if it's the midday snack, if it's the protein you need after a workout, make it Built Bar. I've eaten protein bars my whole life, and I'm telling you, I've never had a protein bar that tastes like Built Bar. Instead of being chalky and tough to chew that hurts your jaw, it's soft and chewy, like a candy bar. Every Built Bar covered in 100% milk chocolate, and unlike some of those protein bars that you think are healthy but really aren't, Built Bar is. It's high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free. It's keto. It's Built Bar. Try it today at BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. Use the code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 to save 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com. Best tasting protein bar in the world is BuiltBar.com. And if you're into daily fantasy, remember, Prize Picks
is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all of the star players from the Power 5 as well as mid-majors that you might not even have heard of. It is Prize Picks. Remember, all users, if you deposit and use your promo code, you'll receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So make sure you get to prizepicks.com. That's prizepicks.com. It's daily fantasy made easy at prizepicks.com. As we wrap up here, ESPN's FPI, it's our football percentage index, which is an algorithm that spits out probabilities for this season. They've been updated now through 2 weeks in the season. LSU, after losing to UCLA, and I'll remind you, before the season, FPI predicted LSU to be 7-5. As of right now, FPI gives LSU a 0% chance of winning out and a 0% chance of winning the conference. They give LSU the fourth hardest remaining strength of schedule in the country. And LSU is only favored to win two more times. FPI gives LSU an 80% chance of beating Central Michigan this week and a 97% chance of beating ULM on November the 20th. That's it. Now, that's not to say that those are, that's point spreads in Las Vegas or guaranteed take it to the bank. And some of the probabilities are close. For example, LSU against Arkansas in Tiger Stadium, FPI gives LSU a 47% chance to win that game. So while it's below 500, they're basically saying that's a coin flip. The next closest probability LSU has is a week from Saturday against Mississippi State at 41% chance to beat the Bulldogs in Starkville. LSU just a 37% chance to beat Kentucky, a 33% chance to beat Auburn, a 25% chance to beat Ole Miss, a 37% chance to beat Kentucky, left that one out, and just 5% chance of beating Alabama. Oh, 32% chance to beat Texas A&M. So not only has LSU fallen on the wrong side of all these metrics, some of them are decidedly one-sided. When we were looking at point spreads and we had this conversation with Jimmy for Otterlocks at some point during the summer, and he told us, look, if you look at point spread value, roughly half of LSU's schedule are going to be a field goal point spread one side or the other. He mentioned UCLA and Mississippi State and Kentucky and Florida. Then you mentioned Alabama, Ole Miss, maybe A&M, some of those. And it was so roughly half the schedule were all a field goal one way or the other. LSU would be, you know, within a field goal favorite or underdog. And since the beginning of the season, we've seen that widen a bit. Obviously, with LSU's upset loss at UCLA and a very lackluster performance against McNeese, they don't pass the eye test, and clearly the computers don't like LSU either. I'll maintain that teams are allowed to improve. And if we could hop in the Wayback Machine and go back to this very point in 2017, LSU lost 37-7 to Mississippi State. They lose to Troy, and nobody was giving LSU a chance maybe to win a conference game all year. And they went 6-1 the remainder of the way, and the only loss was to Alabama. LSU still has talent. I have a feeling this team is going to continue getting better. How much better, I don't know. And I certainly don't think this is a team that I would project with some of their shortcomings to be a 6-2 team in conference or anything like that. I think their ceiling right now is very likely 5-3. Again, ceiling is 5-3 in conference. That puts you at 8-4 overall. I think that's their ceiling. More likely, you're probably talking about a 500 record in conference. And you may hem and haw and say, Matt, what games are they going to win in conference? I don't know, but is LSU capable of winning in Starkville? Yeah. Are they capable of beating Arkansas and Baton Rouge? Of course. Is it possible they win in Lexington? Okay. I mean, could they play their best game of the season and beat Auburn or Florida in Baton Rouge or A&M in Baton Rouge? Yeah. I mean, Colorado damn near beat A&M this past weekend. So, yeah, I mean, there's ways it could happen. I'm not saying that I would say it's super realistic,
But I do know that teams are allowed to improve. And eventually, you will play your best game of the season, even when you're a bad team. I mean, I can go back to that dreadful 1999 season when Jerry DiNardo was fired and Hal Hunter was the interim for that game against Arkansas, who won the West that year, by the way. And with Rohan Davey as the starting quarterback, LSU pounded Arkansas that day, played their best game of the year. So at some point, it'll happen for this team. It'll all come together on a given day, and we'll hope that it's against one of the better teams on the schedule and that it's good enough to win. But as of right now, the computers, the pollsters, not much to like about this LSU team. For what it's worth, bowl projections, USA Today puts out their full bowl projections. They got 12 SEC teams playing in bowl games, including an Alabama-Georgia national championship game, because that's what we're all just aching to see again, right? They've got Texas A&M in the Peach, Florida in the Sugar, so four SEC teams in the New Year's Six. Two in the playoff, two in the New Year's Six. Mississippi State in the Texas Bowl, Kentucky in the Outback, Ole Miss in the Citrus Bowl. I thought Ole Miss might finish a little higher than that. Auburn in the Gator Bowl, Missouri in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Get fired up for that. Tennessee in the Birmingham Bowl, Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl, and your Fighting Tigers of LSU in the Music City Bowl against Michigan State. That's a prediction from USA Today right now. Vandy and South Carolina. Those left on the outside looking in. 12 SEC teams in bowl games seems mighty ambitious, but I guess there's a realistic possibility that that it could happen with all the bowl tie-ins. Okay, that'll do it for us here on a hump day edition of the Locked On LSU podcast. Be sure you're subscribed here and subscribe up to the Locked On Bets podcast. Daily picks, wrong team favorite picks. Check it all out at Locked On Bets. However you get your podcast, subscribe to Locked On Bets. Until tomorrow, Locked On LSU, your team every day.